it was the right vote. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says he made the right choice in recusing himself from the Russia investigation, although he tells Fox News President Trump's ongoing criticism of him is, quote, kind of hurtful. This is USA Radio News.
Joining us is Dr. Terry Kim. He is a professor of ophthalmology at Duke University Eye Center. Welcome, Dr. Kim.
Thank you. Happy to be here, Julie.
All right. So a lot of us hear about cataracts, but I don't think many people really understand what cataracts are. Can you explain them to us?
Yeah, sure. Cataracts are actually one of the most common eye conditions that we see in our specialty, and it has a real impact on people's lives. Basically, what it is, the lens inside the eye is naturally clear when we're young, but as we age, this lens becomes cloudy and thicker, and that ends up blocking or changing how the light passes through the eye, resulting in blurry vision. There is a very good treatment for this called cataract surgery, where the vision can be restored and oftentimes improved.
All right, if people want to know about the new advancements, maybe learn more about whether or not they have issues already, where do they go for more information?
MyCataracts.com, and then the phone number is 844-MY-CATARACT.
Thank you, Dr. Kim.
Thank you, Andy, for having me.
A report just released by the government this morning showing the U.S. economy grew at a 2.6% annual rate in the year's second quarter, up from just a 1.2% gain in the first. Q2 consumer spending leading the way with a 2.8% increase. Quick, do you know what the 17th Amendment says to the Constitution? Well, because a former governor and presidential hopeful says he wants it repealed after that health care defeat in the Senate overnight. Before the 17th Amendment was ratified in 1913, U.S. senators were chosen not by the voters, but by state legislatures. Mike Huckabee tweeting early Friday morning after the Senate failed to repeal Obamacare that the founders had it right, senators chosen by state legislatures. Huckabee then tweeted, that way senators would work for their states. Senators John McCain of Arizona, Susan Collins of Maine, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska claimed that that skinny repeal would have hurt people in their states. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesman, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
President Trump's border wall prototypes seem to be running into challenges. Customs and Border Protection saying yesterday the prototypes were supposed to have been built by last month, but it looks like they're going to be delayed until winter because of the bidding process. Two companies bidding on mock-ups of the wall have made formal protests after bids failed to make it to the second round. New White House Communications Chief Anthony Scaramucci not mincing words in his feud with other top officials in the West Wing, as we hear from Tom Roberts.
In a profanity-laced interview with The New Yorker Wednesday, Scaramucci called Chief of Staff Reince Priebus a paranoid schizophrenic, and he questioned Steve Bannon's loyalty. Earlier, Scaramucci threatened to fire everybody on the communications team to stop media leaks. Scaramucci explained in a tweet Thursday that he sometimes uses colorful language. He added that he won't give up the fight for the president's agenda.
The nation's biggest and oldest civil rights group warning people about visiting or even driving through the state of Missouri, especially if they're African-American. The NAACP leaders yesterday issuing what they call a travel advisory. It warns that driving while black in the state of Missouri can get you killed. And researchers who just did a study in Denmark claim that people who drink moderate amounts of alcohol have a lower risk of diabetes than people who hardly ever drink. They said people who have a few drinks 3 to 4 times a week have a lower risk of developing the disease. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. This week's new movies include Dunkirk, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, Girls Trip, and Maudie. I'll also be talking about some news, the trailer park, box office predictions, and of course, the home cinema roundup featuring Kong Skull Island. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com and facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
We had two pretty major film deaths in the last week. The first one happened all the way back at last weekend's, and that was George Romero. And he died at 77 after a battle with lung cancer. It came really as a surprise, and mainly because he has always been very active in the fan community. I've known people who've booked him at things, and he was always apparently just a total gentleman about these sort of things. And I mean, aside from like Bill Paxton when he passed away several months ago, and nobody expected that, this was kind of a surprise to me, even though he was 77. And it's sad because you want to talk about somebody who, boy, left an indelible mark. That was George Romero. I mean, how many people can lay claim to essentially creating an entire breed of monster? Sure, flesh-eating zombies existed in other forms before, but it was really George Romero with Night of the Living Dead in 1968 that created the zombie culture. And without that, you wouldn't have gotten shows like The Walking Dead. You wouldn't have gotten other classic movies, other series that have gone on to have multiple sequels themselves, like Return of the Living Dead. Anything with Living Dead in it. If you didn't have George Romero, you didn't have that. And while other people could have created it, no one did. And it took until 1968 to really make that happen. In fact, I mean, talk about somebody who changed the culture of horror movies, went from zombies being the white zombie version from the old white zombie movie, which were voodoo zombies, people who have been sort of, their mind has been taken over or raised from the dead, but not really, just sort of an enslaved person to the actual living dead. And that was George Romero's legacy. For better or for worse, I think in some ways he tried to escape it, like anyone has. Like when Leonard Nimoy, there was a period of time where he was retreating from Spock, and then he embraced it. And I think George Romero was the same way. Now, in terms for me, I'm not a huge fan of all the Dead movies. I thought the first three were really good. My favorite's Night of the Living Dead. And then Dawn of the Dead is so monumental because it really has subtext to it. But it was still a big, epic zombie movie. But it's the other stuff he did, stuff like The Crazies, which is a viscerally terrifying movie. And if you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out. Or Creepshow. Creepshow is actually my favorite of George Romero's movies because he takes Stephen King's stories, which are very, at the time, very contemporary and relevant, and made them into a homage to EC horror comics, and that was wonderful. So Yeah, George Romero is going to be missed. Another celebrity death that happened was Martin Landau. Again, he was 89. I mean, he was way up there. But this was unexpected. He died of unexpected complications after a hospital stay. Martin Landau has also left an indelible mark on movies and television. And that's interesting to note because it used to be that you were either a TV actor or a movie actor. You had to choose. And Martin Landau did both. At a time that people generally didn't do both. I'm talking, sometimes you'd have celebrities who are in movies and they do guest spots on television. But Martin Landau was a working actor in TV. He showed up on a lot of things. I'm not just talking about Mission Impossible or Space 1999. I mean, he showed up on all these different shows. He was a TV actor, but he was also a movie actor. He won an Academy Award. The most powerful performance I remember seeing of his was in Ed Wood as Bela Lugosi. Usually it was poison. If you were a movie actor and you went back and did TV, it was considered a career killer. But Martin Landau did both. And on top of it, he's doing it. He was in a movie I saw just not too long ago called Remember, which I thought was a fantastic film. Now, of course, he always, as he got older, he played older men. He played geriatric characters. And in the movie Remember, he was a man in a nursing home in a wheelchair. But boy, he was working up until the bitter end. He defined near a century of entertainment. If you've been alive in the last 60 years, you know who he is just by watching TV and movies. And the only way you wouldn't know is if you've never seen a TV show or movie. So Martin Landau is one of those classic actors who will always go down and be remembered. So yeah, it's sad. I hate having news segments where I have to eulogize two greats in the industry, and that happened this week, George Romero and Martin Landau. Sad to see them both go, and very relevant to check out some of their work. Everything from George Romero with the Dead movies up to Creepshow and the Crazies, and Martin Landau with everything from Mission Impossible to Bela Lugosi in Ed Wood and Space 1999 and more contemporary stuff where you just see him showing up. So, yeah, it's a sad week in Hollywood. Listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That's on me. It's time to roll into the trailer park. First one I want to talk about is The Snowman, which opens on October 20th, starring Michael Fassbender and Rebecca Ferguson tracking down a serial killer.
A woman vanished last night. We just found the body.
Prints?
And the head. He's missing. He calls himself the Snowman Killer. He's completely insane.
One of the things that I find most intriguing about this movie is it's this sort of Nordic story. It takes place in the north, snowy. I love those movies. I'd love to live up there. You know, you see these movies where everyone's all depressed because they live in Norway and there's 24 hours of darkness versus 24 hours of sun going back and forth. You see movies like Insomnia or TV shows like Lilyhammer and they portray Norway as being beautiful but ultimately soul-crushing at times. I think it looks awesome. My wife would never live up there. She likes the warm weather way too much. I love the cold weather. It kind of has, in a lot of ways, it has a feel of, even though it's not a horror, I mean, it's not a horror story with a traditional monster or a vampire story, but it feels a bit like Let the Right One In, where you have the oppressive cold and the starkness and the lifelessness of beauty hiding frozen bitterness. I mean, this looks like a good movie. I'm looking forward to it. A good old-fashioned serial killer movie. Hopefully it's better than something like Girl on the Train, which had a lot of hope, in my opinion, but then just sort of didn't quite deliver. The next one I want to talk about is A Wrinkle in Time, which opens on March 9th.
Your father has accomplished something extraordinary. Also dangerous. He's trapped by a darkness that's actively spreading throughout the universe. And the only one who can stop it is you. Be a warrior.
I'll try.
This is based on Madeline L'Engle's book, obviously, and it's directed by Ava DuVernay. And I'm interested in seeing it to see what she does with just a regular run-of-the-mill movie. You know, it's a lot of times when you have a director who's she's so steeped in the cultural aspect of things, especially coming on really strong with Selma, which was a fantastic movie, to just do a regular old mainstream movie to see what we end up with. And I'm curious to see what she does with just that. I mean, it would have been neat to see what she would have done with the superhero movies that she'd been offered. But now she's doing big budget Disney special effect driven movie. It's been so long since I've read Wrinkle in Time. I must have been in like third grade when I read it. So I don't even remember much about it aside from like the three witches. And it was a time travel movie. So I'm curious to see what it is. I don't even want to go refresh my memory of what the story was because I kind of want to go in fresh. This looks like high concept Disney. That is it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets and Maudie.
Under 30 horsepower diesel tractors are in high demand. Yanmar meets this demand with the powerful SA series that go above and beyond ordinary tractors with the famously reliable Yanmar engine. When it comes to compact tractors, 35 horsepower is the just right size for many people. The Yanmar Model YT235 tractor fits the bill. Open platform or factory cab, the YT235 is your best choice to put a famous Yanmar diesel engine to work on your land. Look to the Yanmar YT3 series for the best over 45 horsepower compact tractor. Only the YT3 Yanmar tractors can increase your productivity and time savings with the unique, proven, and reliable IHMT transmission. From subcompact 21 horsepower to 59 acre-eating horsepower, Yanmar provides you with powerful tractors and matching attachments for the whole range of compact tractor tasks. More information at yanmartractor.com. That's yanmartractor.com.
This report is brought to you by Sprint. 2017 marks the sixth year that Sprint is sponsoring the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Starting July 7th through July 26th, Sprint will challenge fans to trivia fun and soccer-related games for a chance to win up to $10,000 and other prizes. At select matches, the on-site football fiesta experience lets you meet soccer legends like American All-Star Brian McBride, along with Jared Borghetti and others from Team Mexico. Learn how to stay connected with Sprint's unlimited freedom plan at sprint.com/copa and use hashtag Sprint4Copa. Brian McBride, Team USA.
Sprint doesn't want you to miss a single second of the 2017 Gold Cup action. And with the Unlimited Freedom Plan, you don't have to. Enjoy the best of soccer on a winning network. Works for me.
Offer and coverage not available everywhere. Restrictions apply. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of the 50 United States, including the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, age 14 or older, who at time of entry are members of Sprint Rewards Club. Sweepstakes begins at 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on July 7th, 2017, and ends at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on July 26, 2017.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's start off with the movie reviews, and we're going to kick it off with Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. Luc Besson adapts a graphic novel about two military officers tasked with finding a kidnapped general in a space station that is home to hundreds of aliens and cultures.
Welcome to Alpha, the City of a Thousand Planets. After centuries of peace and prosperity, an unknown force wants to destroy all we have created.
Agents Valerian and Laureline, you have less than 10 hours to find the threat and eliminate it.
Let's get to work.
It's funny, I have a love-hate relationship with Luc Besson. I actually interviewed him about 10 years ago when he came out with Arthur and the Invisibles. And I mean, he's a very charming man. It's so funny because I don't like everything that Luc Besson has done. Some of his movies I thought have been fantastic, and some of them really have bridged that international gap, like Lucy or Taken. Those are movies that did well internationally, but also did well domestically here. But a lot of his movies are French. I mean, he's French, and it has a more European feel to him, which is why you get movies like The Fifth Element that did so-so here in America, but did extremely well overseas. He did, of course, the original La Femme Nikita. He does a variety of movies, and you cannot discount the fact that this is a rabid movie fan. This is a guy who just doesn't make movies. He loves making movies, but he loves watching movies, and he loves the excitement of doing it. And there's a certain sense of wonder he brings here to all of his movies, and he does that with Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. So there's a lot of respect I have for Luc Besson. Now, with that said, this movie has some problems. In some ways, it really feels derivative of other films. There's parts of it that look like it's taken right out of Avatar in terms of the characters and their look and their design. And there's other parts that seem very derivative of Star Wars. There's like literally a scene where they go through a trash compactor shoot. Also, the lead characters, Valerian and Laureline, Dane DeHaan, who does this weird Keanu Reeves impression through the movie. You've seen him before in movies. He played the Green Goblin in the Amazing Spider-Man films, and he did Chronicle. And then Cara Delevingne, who was in movies like Paper Towns and more recently in Suicide Squad. She played the Enchantress in that. They really don't have good chemistry. They really try. They try to give them character and chemistry moments, but it just doesn't quite work. They do kind of fall flat, and they're very they don't do a great job acting in this. On top of it, there's also scenes that just seem bizarre and out there and contradictory to the story itself, where they say we can't do this one thing, and then they go and they do that to an extreme degree. And there's moments of comedy. There's like this weird diversion where they have Rihanna in this bizarre role. So it really has these strange moments that don't quite work. But on the same token, this is a gorgeous movie. I mean, this movie is kind of a sight to behold. This is the kind of movie that I don't particularly like the story, and I don't necessarily like the characters, but I could put it on the background and just enjoy the heck out of it. Sort of like Lost in Space, if you remember when they made that movie like 20 years ago. That movie's a neat movie to have in the background because it has some great imagery and visuals and action. This one has it as well, and it sort of spins – it's sort of this weird mix of Guardians of the Galaxy and the Fifth Element styles to it, where some of it's really weird and extreme, but also it's very colorful and vibrant. The action's great. This is very much a big-screen movie to see, and there's parts of it that I absolutely love, but it's not a cohesive film. And that's a shame, because I love seeing something different. And it's so sad when there's a movie, and I know this isn't going to do well in America, but I think it's also made much for a global marketplace. And don't give me honestly, mark my words, in a couple of weeks you're going to start seeing articles written about online about, oh, wow, Valerian and the City of the Thousand Planets is a big bomb. But when you look at the final box office globally, because it's got Chinese money in it and it's done by a French director about a French graphic novel, it's very European and very French. In terms of its of sort of its approach, I think it's going to do very well overseas, and it'll be a profitable movie, just like Arthur and the Invisibles, just like The Fifth Element, just like some of his other movies that haven't quite clicked in America. So, you know, I've had a couple days to think about this movie, and I'm going to give it a kind of rocks very trepidatiously, because it's right there on the tipping point, but I'm giving it kind of rocks because It was at least interesting, and I wouldn't mind sitting through it again.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk a little bit about Maudie. The life and marriage of Nova Scotia folk artist Maud Lewis is examined in this low-key biopic.
Let me tell you how it is around here. There's me, them dogs, them chickens, then you.
You want me here, don't you? Because I'll walk out right now.
Who told you could paint fairies on the wall?
I think it looks all right.
I'd like to see one of your larger paintings.
$5.
Done.
Her paintings have even been sold to Vice President Nixon.
You can find Maud Lewis selling her paintings from the front steps of her little house here in Marshalltown, Nova Scotia.
The biggest reason to see this movie is because of Sally Hawkins. I love Sally Hawkins. She got a lot of notice for the movie, I think it was Happy-Go-Lucky that came out 7 or 8 years ago. And she's done a lot of great stuff. Now, the thing is, she doesn't click necessarily in America because she's older. She's in her 40s, I think. You know. But she's an older actress. She's not this 20-something starlet, but she is a fantastic actress. And she doesn't always get the best part. She's in the Paddington movies as the mom, and she's charming as all get out in that. And I saw her in this actually quite excellent short film that was nominated for an Academy Award about suicide prevention a couple of years ago. But Sally Hawkins is fantastic as Maudie. She really sort of takes the character and makes it her own. And the character is very sort of morose but has a certain charm and cheerfulness in her core. And it's about her and her husband. And her husband's a big poop, let's just put it that way. You look at him, he's a big grumpy guy who had a little farmhouse. And they had this weird relationship that ended up turning into a romance that turned into a marriage, and they kind of then circled the wagons around each other, even though they kind of had it be adversarial. Ethan Hawke plays her husband, and oddly enough, he's also in Valerian, so he gets two movies this weekend. But I wouldn't say Maudie was a great movie. It's a performance film, not necessarily for Ethan Hawke. He does seem to kind of play a very easy stock role, not the one that he's played a lot before, but just we've seen it before. But really, it's Sally Hawkins is the reason to see this. If you like Sally Hawkins, if you know anything about Maud Lewis, who was a painter, and the whole thing is she started painting the house. I mean, like, not like a house painter, but started painting her art on the house, and she did these little postcards, and then she did larger pieces of art, and she became this phenomenon. But she's like having like flowers and trees and animals and all this stuff painted on her house on the inside and out, and that's kind of become its own little art installation itself. You can still go see the house, which is kind of neat. It's sort of this little claim to fame from Nova Scotia. But being Nova Scotia, it is kind of desolate and cold, and at times, I mean, they go through the seasons because it takes place over years, but it really shows the limited scope of Maud Lewis's life, but it also shows what her talent was. And in that sense, like I said, there's a lot of movies that are really just sort of spotlight pieces, and this is a spotlight piece for Sally Hawkins, and it's great to see her getting a movie she can really dive into, and she does a fine job in it. So I'm going to have to say Maudie kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Dunkirk and girls' trip.
Stop it now.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then we suggest you call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 immediately. That's 1-800-658-8202. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we will give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 1-800-658-8202 now for your free author submission kit. That's 1-800-658-8202. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 1-800-658-8202. That's 1-800-658-8202. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with a simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 for your free author submission kit.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's time to move on.
A very disappointed Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell after the failure of the GOP's skinny health care bill, after Arizona Senator John McCain turned on his colleagues and voted no.
I think the American people are going to regret that we couldn't find a better way forward. And as I said, we look forward to our colleagues on the other side suggesting what they have in mind.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions standing beside his decision to recuse himself from the Russia investigation. Sessions called it the right decision during an interview with Fox News in El Salvador last night. He said President Trump's ongoing criticism of him is kind of hurtful, but he noted he plans to continue working. Sessions called Trump a strong leader who's determined to move the U.S. forward. Sessions traveled to El Salvador for an international meeting on gang violence. USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's hit the big movie, the Christopher Nolan film. This is the one that's going to save the summer. I am kind of making fun of the hype because Christopher Nolan has quickly turned into one of those directors that his fans don't even have to see the movie and they love it. It's very similar to the fans. And I'm going to make a lot of comparisons from Dunkirk to Transformers and between Christopher Nolan and Michael Bay. I know that's insulting to some people, but I don't care. In a lot of ways, Christopher Nolan fans are like Michael Bay fans. They will defend his movies before they even see it. I saw Dunkirk and I wrote a negative review of it. And I put it up. I got it linked off of Rotten Tomatoes because I can do that. And I haven't written a full review in a while, but that's one that I figured, well, that's good because we'll see what people say about this. And it got a lot of traffic and a lot of hate for that. It's amazing how many people attacked me having not seen the movie. And that's the kind of director Christopher Nolan is. And you get that with Michael Bay fans. Michael Bay fans just know they're going to like his movies, whether they're not. And any fan of any director, but pretty much people knew they were going to like, you know, fans of Transformers didn't care that Transformers was terrible, this latest one. They just liked it because it was Michael Bay, and they'd be mad at you if you were attacking him. Dunkirk is his attempt to do a war film. And it's also his first time he stepped out of fantastic elements since, I think, Insomnia, which was early 2000s. I mean, because all the Dark Knight movies and Interstellar and Inception all kind of had these science fiction bits to it. I mean, yeah, Interstellar was meant to be realistic, kind of, but it was still a visionary in the future type movie. Dunkirk takes place in 1940, and it's a real story about 400,000 troops, British troops, that are stuck in Dunkirk as the Nazis are pushing them, trying to get through the city to kill them. And they can't evacuate because the Luftwaffe will come in and just blow up any ship trying to get them off the beach, and it's blowing up the people on the beach, and they're just sort of sitting ducks there. It's a story of how on the beach they're trying to survive, and then from the sea they're sending civilian vessels over, and of course you've got very few from the Royal Air Force that are actually able to protect the beach. And it shows the chaos. It doesn't give you much context of anything, because I think deliberately Nolan is saying, oh, this is what it was like as a soldier on the ground. You didn't know what was going on. You didn't know what was happening back home. You didn't know what the plan was. You just wanted to get on a boat and get the heck out of there.
We've activated the civilian boats.
Civilians? When they destroy us?
Where are we going?
Dunkirk!
I'm not going back. If we go, they will die.
You're weekend sailors, not the bloody Navy.
You should be at home!
There's no hiding from this, son. We have a job to do.
Turn it around!
For what Nolan does, he does exceptionally well. I mean, it is a powerful movie. It is an intense movie. There's great special effects. The action's fantastic. The visuals are amazing. Everyone says, oh, see it at 70mm IMAX. I saw it in DCP, but I'm sure 70mm is pretty impressive for just the imagery. It shows how difficult it was to shoot down planes from another plane at the time. And, I mean, the war action elements to it are fantastic. With that said, all these people out there saying it's the greatest movie of the year, it's the greatest war movie ever made, you're flat out wrong. And I will tell you why. This is half of a movie. It's a great half of a movie, but it is still half a movie. It is the end of a film. It's like walking into Titanic when they hit the iceberg. The first half of that movie, you have all the character and the context and the history and the development. And then from the point they hit the iceberg, it's wrapping everything up and everybody reacting. This one gives you none of that. It gives you no story, character, context, history, or even development. The closest you get to any sort of character development and emotional resonance is a character played by Mark Rylance, who's one of the civilian pleasure boat drivers who goes and tries to evacuate people from Dunkirk. And that's more just because Mark Rylance is so good at delivering that. And I've had people complain and say, well, you know, Nolan doesn't spoon feed you the emotion. Yeah, but every bit of emotion you got to bring there. You got to project everything onto those characters. I don't expect to be spoon fed, but at least put it on the plate. As much as I had issue with the characters in Valerian, at least they attempted to do it. Nolan has been taken to the task for being an emotionless, joyless, soulless director. That was no more apparent than if you watched Interstellar, where he had tons of emotion, but it all was flat because he didn't know how to deliver it. He didn't know how to package it. And that's why I felt nothing when I saw Interstellar, and I felt even less when I watched this. They're tin soldiers. You don't get the humanity in war, and that's the real tragedy of war. That's the war is hell mentality. Yeah, it's dangerous and it's crazy, but they're cardboard cutouts. This is not a full movie. And it feels in some ways as if Nolan's sort of responding to his critics, saying, well, you don't like my long movies? Okay, I'm going to do a short one. Oh, you don't like my failures at emotional context? I'm just not going to put any in there. You know, you don't think I do enough dialogue that makes sense that you got to hear? Yeah, I'm not going to put that in there either. I mean, you got Tom Hardy, once again, through another Christopher Nolan movie with a mask on his face. So the whole freaking thing, at the very end, you see him without his mask on. But he's a fighter pilot. You can't understand a freaking word this guy says. It's almost become a caricature of Christopher Nolan movies. And that's why I say this is a huge achievement, but it's also a colossal failure, because it's Nolan stubbornly not giving you what you need in a movie. And you can't say, well, it's deliberate, but he just wanted to do it. He didn't want to show the characters, and he didn't want to show what's going on back home, and he didn't want to show what the plan was, because that's cliche. It's like, maybe it is, but that's how movies are made. Otherwise, you get a $150 million experimental film. This movie has as much emotional resonance as Transformers 5 does, and that's a garbage movie. But I would even say that at least Michael Bay tries. He puts characters in there. They're absolute garbage, but at least he tries. This is a fine example of people overhyping a movie. Do not believe the hype for Dunkirk. It is not the best war film. It's not even the best film of the year. It's not the best film of the summer, that's even. It's incredibly, colossally disappointing. And that's sad, because I think Nolan could do better. So, I don't know. I mean, at the very end, Dunkirk is okay, but it's half a movie. So it gets half of my rating. I'm going to have to say it kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks.
Wait a second. I don't like the sound of that.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk real quickly about Girls Trip. Four women who have been friends since college go on a raucous trip.
This weekend is about us. We deserve this. So let's go.
We need to talk.
There ain't nothing you need to say to her that you can't say in front of us.
Today is the last day that we will ever be this young.
I have not had this much fun in so long.
This one was screened. Now, there are movies I occasionally don't get a chance to see because this had a conflicting screening. I had to go see another movie at the same time that I had already previously committed to. So I didn't see Girls Trip, but not for the lack of the studio trying. And I think that's important to note, because so often I come on the air and say this movie wasn't screened, so it's probably garbage. I can't give a rating for Girls Trip because I didn't see it, but they tried to show it to us. And I give them credit for it. So, you know, I'm not going to be given a final rating for this one, but let's talk real quickly about it. This one is its main, essentially, aiming for the African-American female audience. It's got Jada Pinkett Smith and Queen Latifah and Regina Hall, who are all playing these women on this, I say girls, but they're women, they're in their 40s. They're on this weekend getaway in this sort of this raucous comedy, and it's directed by the guy who did The Best Man and The Best Man Holiday, and from what I've heard and what you can tell from the trailers, it has those ups and downs. It has that raucous, broad comedy, no pun intended, a broad comedy, but it also has these heavier character moments where they're dealing with relationships and issues there. And those are, I thought in the Best Man movies, those were a little bit trite, but they certainly work for the audience it's going to. This is very much directed as a demographic movie, and I think it's going to do very well in its demographic. It looks funny for what it is. I just didn't get a chance to see it. So I can't give it a review, but I did want to give a little bit of a note for Girls Trip. That is it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about the new Doctor Who, the weekly box office, and the home cinema roundup featuring Kong Skull Island.
Under 30 horsepower diesel tractors are in high demand. Yanmar meets this demand with the powerful SA series that go above and beyond ordinary tractors with the famously reliable Yanmar engine. When it comes to compact tractors, 35 horsepower is the just right size for many people. The Yanmar Model YT235 tractor fits the bill. Open platform or factory cab, the YT235 is your best choice to put a famous Yanmar diesel engine to work on your land. Look to the Yanmar YT3 series for the best over 45 horsepower compact tractor. Only the YT3 Yanmar tractors can increase your productivity and time savings with the unique, proven, and reliable IHMT transmission. From subcompact 21 horsepower to 59 acre-eating horsepower, Yanmar provides you with powerful tractors and matching attachments for the whole range of compact tractor tasks. More information at yanmartractor.com. That's YanmarTractor.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk a little bit about a piece of news that happened this weekend, and I didn't do this in the news segment because I had to talk about George Romero and Martin Landau, but this is something that was big, and I talked about this last week right before they announced it, and that is the new Doctor Who. Now, I remember talking last week, I was saying who I'd like. I mean, I always was saying I liked Richard Iotti from the IT crowd. I think he's fantastic. He would have been a great doctor. And I've learned with Doctor Who not to say I like or don't like a doctor until I actually see them. Because I didn't know anything about Matt Smith, and I thought he looked goofy as all get up. But I thought he was a fantastic doctor. And in retrospect, I remember back when I heard they were doing Christopher Eccleston as the new Doctor Who, I was all excited, but then I saw him and I really wasn't wild about his version of Doctor Who. We already knew that Peter Capaldi's character was going to regenerate and that he was done with the series. And they're like, oh, we're going to announce the new Doctor Who after the Wimbledon finals for men. And everyone was all excited. I think had more people watching Wimbledon because they were excited about Doctor Who than actually caring about the tennis match. And like even like David Tennant shown up, and of course David Tennant was the 10th Doctor and was one of the most beloved of the new Doctors, but him and Matt Smith are probably the most liked. There's kind of a, you know, Elvis and Beatles argument. And of course there was all this speculation. Are we going to have a female Doctor? And the reason that was speculated is because they teased that. They actually teased that way back when Matt Smith regenerated into Peter Capaldi. And that was a big discussion several years ago when that happened. And they've set the stage over the last several years with Peter Capaldi's episodes to say, yes, we have determined that a Time Lord can regenerate and change genders. And they announced that Jodie Whittaker from Broadchurch, ironically playing in a show with David Tennant, she is going to be the new Doctor. And this will be the first female Doctor. And that's great. I mean, I remember seeing Jodie Whittaker in Attack the Block. I thought she was fine. I thought she had a real sort of Emily Mortimer quality to her. But I mean, she wasn't the crux of that movie. The, you know, John Boyega was the big one in that movie, and of course the aliens. And she was, a secondary role really in that. But I don't have anything against her. I'm looking forward to it because it's the first Doctor Who I kind of want to smash. To use a Trevor Noah term. I sound terrible using that term. Oh, my God. I'd never do that again, Kevin. That's awful. Anyways, this is why historical context, why it works. People have said they're retconning it to make him be able to regenerate. You do realize that the regeneration of Doctor Who was a retcon in the first place. Way back in the 60s, when William Hartnell stopped doing it, and they moved to the second Doctor, they're like, well, let's keep the character. Let's make this make up. They can regenerate. Let's just make that up. That in itself was made to continue the series. They then suddenly had this thing where they said you can only regenerate 12 or 13 times, and they kind of reached that level with Matt Smith, and then they retconned again and said, okay, we're going to have the Time Lords from Gallifrey give him these special powers, so he apparently has unlimited regeneration energy now. So retconning the gender swap, yeah, that's not the way it was originally conceived, but this entire series over the last 50-some years has been about changing things with as things ebb and flow in the world. So I'm totally fine with that. If she's good, great. If she's not, I'm just looking for a good doctor. I don't care what her genitals are. But, well, I kind of do because, you know, like I said, I want to smash. But what was so frustrating is I remember watching the announcement, and immediately people are like going, male tears. Oh, big man baby are butthurt because of this. And I saw nonstop tweeting about that. And I searched the hashtags Doctor Who 13, Doctor 13, BBC, all those things. I found almost, I don't think maybe I saw one comment complaining about a female doctor. Everyone else was on board. And I'm sure there are people out there who do, and I've been told by other people I know who are friends with other fans that they have heard people complain about, oh, a doctor's not going to be able to park the TARDIS, and, you know, is it Nurse Who? Which, I mean, like, really, it's 2017. Are we still going with the whole thing that doctors are men and nurses are, yeah, is that the joke still? I mean, that joke's older than most people making the joke. This is the essence of Twitter nowadays, where people are suddenly going, oh, all you sexists, shut up. You can find any abhorrent belief and any abhorrent statement on the internet. Just because you can find it does not mean you need to give it a spotlight and make it sound like it's mainstream. I really don't think there's that many people complaining about that. I really don't think there are that many people upset that it's a female doctor. I'm sure there are, but it's sort of like when Mad Max came out, Fury Road. There weren't a whole, I really don't think there were that many men out there that were upset that it had such a female-centric plot and characters. I thought it was a legitimate complaint to say Mad Max's character was secondary at best. Look, people, just pump the brakes. Enjoy the winning your female doctor instead of having to rub it in the male tears butthurt man-baby child that doesn't exist. Don't be a jerk about it. Just enjoy it. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk real quickly about the box office. Last week I said $65 million for Planet of the Apes. A little bit soft on that. It didn't do as well. I'm not hugely surprised by that simply because it's not a broad, crowd-pleasing movie. $56 million is what it made. That's perfectly fine, especially because internationally I think it's going to do plenty. But that's what I expected, and that's actually really good for a cerebral movie in which very little dialogue happens outside of ape sign languaging to each other. And then, of course, Spider-Man Homecoming came in with 44. That was quite a bit of a drop, but I think it's just people aren't treating it like an original movie. They're treating it like another Marvel movie, and it's dropping like that. And Wonder Woman suffered less of a drop because there was something new with Wonder Woman, being that it was a Wonder Woman movie. And we've had how many Spider-Man movies in the last 15 years? This week, I think Dunkirk's going to win. I think it's going to have an inflated box office, mainly because of the 70mm and the IMAX bump. There's going to be a lot of people seeing it in that format, so there's going to be fewer people seeing it, but a higher number. But I still think it's right around 40 million. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the home cinema roundup. Spotlight this week is on Kong Skull Island, which is one of my favorite movies of the year. Honestly, it's a better war film than Dunkirk, as is War of the Planet of the Apes. You know, what's funny is the movies that I like the most this year are about CGI apes. I don't know why. But before I start talking about it, let's play the trailer. Kong Skull Island, at the end of the Vietnam War, a team of scientists and a military escort travel to a mysterious island populated with monsters.
These are photos of an island in the South Pacific.
The place where myth and science meet. I see trouble
on the way. Is that a monkey? Come out!
You knew that thing was out here?
I'm sorry for your men, Colonel. But if you want to make their sacrifice worthwhile, get us home with proof.
If you didn't see it in the theaters, it's really, really good, mainly because it does what science fiction can do, which is telling a story through a different lens. This deconstructs the American experience coming out of Vietnam and the emotional turmoil that a lot of people had. And in a lot of ways, this is Apocalypse Now with a giant ape in it. And it's also something different in terms of calling. It's not just a rehash of the old story, not bringing him back to America and having him climb the Empire State Building again. It's something wholly different, which is awesome and fantastic. And deconstructing the human condition and the American experience following the first war that we didn't win. Now, there's also a lot of good stuff on the Blu-ray. There's about 5 or 6 minutes of deleted scenes. There's also a commentary, and you don't always get commentaries as much. They're not as common, but you get a commentary, which is fantastic because it has the director looking at this, and he has a lot to say about the movie, and he can break down what's going on. You also have a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff. You have looking at how they were going to create Kong and how they were using the special effects and how they're bringing the different characters together and how they developed the Kong look, which isn't exactly a gorilla. It also examines looking at shooting in Vietnam 40 years after we left there. More interesting, though, aside from a little bit of, you know, sort of ego-driven spotlights on the actors, there's Monarch Files, which are this sort of like the fake agency behind the movie, and it's their secret files about Kong and Skull Island, and that's, yeah, it's 7 or 8 minutes, but those are fun to watch because they're sort of in-context special features. So overall, Kong Skull Island is a great movie, totally worth seeing if you haven't seen it. And I'm going to have to say it and the Blu-ray totally rock.
It rocks.
Excellent!
Other movies that are out this week on DVD and Blu-ray are The Promise, which is, of course, about the Armenian Genocide, Free Fire, which was Ben Wheatley's latest movie, and The Expanse Season 2. That is it. I need to go for the week. Next week when I come back, I'm going to be talking about The Emoji Movie and Atomic Blonde. Until then, have a fat time at the movies.
This report is brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association. Lifestyle factors that impact risk for cognitive decline and Alzheimer's disease have been expanded, as reported at the 2017 Alzheimer's Association International Conference in London. These include declining speech patterns, different types of hospitalization, and hearing loss. A study of nearly 800 people in Wisconsin with a parental history of Alzheimer's found that those diagnosed with hearing loss were roughly 3 times as likely to have a mild cognitive impairment, which often leads to Alzheimer's. Dr. Keith Fargo is Director of Scientific Programs and Outreach at the Alzheimer's Association.
These findings suggest that in older adults, hearing loss could be an early indicator of cognitive decline. It's possible that identifying and treating hearing loss could be of real value in reducing the overall burden of Alzheimer's disease and dementia.
If these new studies are confirmed, monitoring hearing loss and drops in speech complexity in people as they age may prove to be indicators of the need for cognitive evaluation. For more information, visit ALZ.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Oh.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
And now we have the national weather. The weather today here in beautiful Flemington is about 85 degrees. This afternoon, let me see, what's it say? This afternoon, partly sunny. This evening, heavy rain.